You're listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and Friends, the number one source for travel news, reviews, and in-depth travel journalism, broadcasting live from Florida's Sun Coast on the Travel Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, you can listen to us online 24/7 at ttrn.com. And now, here's the travel guy, Roy Lowy.
Good morning, and this is the Travel Guy, Roy Lowy. Thank you, Scott, for that intro. And today we really have a special program. We're bringing you a one-hour special on New York's Finger Lakes. As part of this one-hour special in our continuing series of Rediscovering America and Travel Treasures Close to Home, my very special guests today are all members of the New York Finger Lakes Tourism Alliance, representing Skyla, Ontario, Livingston, Steuben, and Tioga counties, as well as gateways to the Finger Lakes, Syracuse and Rochester, when we come back.
Totally gone native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing the new Total All-Inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks, all-day dining, world-class accommodations, 64 sports and activities, all gratuities and more for a totally great price. So you can totally forget your wallet. Call today for a totally unlimited, totally together, totally barefoot time. Book now and save on a 7-night total all-inclusive vacation to Club Med in the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Mexico. Call today. You'll totally want to do it again.
This segment of the show is brought to you by SureCruise.com, your online cruise superstore, and in part by USA 3000 Airlines, offering low-cost fares from St. Petersburg, Orlando, Fort Myers, and Fort Lauderdale to seven cities. To kick off the Finger Lakes Rediscovering America special, it gives me great pleasure to introduce Mr. Mike Rusinko, president of the Finger Lakes Tourism Alliance. He is a Cornell University graduate, former radio host himself, and marketing executive. Welcome to Talking Travel.
Roy, it's great to talk to you this morning. How are you?
I'm terrific. And yourself?
Oh, I'm basking in a beautiful Finger Lakes morning. I'm having a great day.
That's terrific. Let's chat a bit about the Alliance, if you will.
The Finger Lakes Tourism Alliance is the original regional marketing organization in America. We've been in existence since 1919, and we comprise 14 counties in this upstate New York region. And as you described, it basically stretches like rectangularly from Syracuse to Rochester, all across the Lake Ontario border, if you're looking at a map of New York State, and then it goes extends south to the Pennsylvania state line, down around Letchworth State Park, curving around to Corning in Elmira, New York, over to Owego in Tioga County.
So, now, what's the mission of the Alliance?
We are in existence and have always been to feature our region, the Finger Lakes region of upstate New York, in a positive light and to attract visitors here. That's our principal mission. And as you can imagine, we wear a lot of hats to accomplish that mission, too.
I would imagine.
But really, our method is to get out, not just in our region, but throughout New York State, nationally and internationally, to welcome guests and enhance their experience when they're in the Finger Lakes.
Well, we had a marvelous experience. Bob Fisher, as you know, went down one side, and I went down the other, and it was a really amazing experience. What is the growth of tourism as you see it today in the Finger Lakes?
Well, the thing that people see right at first, I believe, is the wineries. We now have somewhere approaching 100 wineries. The numbers are exploding. Now, that's a terrific tourism story, because there's so much more for people to see. Those great experiences that people have walking through the vineyards, taking tours, having tastings, maybe stopping at a cafe that the wineries might have opened. A lot of those have opened recently. I mean, that's the thing that people see. But there's also an economic development story going on there, that this is a sector of our regional economy that's growing aggressively. So that's the quickest, most easily to see face, I think,
and of course,
of tourism growth.
And of course, you know, you talk of wineries, and we now look at something that most people aren't too familiar with, but is a big growing tourism market, and that's agritourism.
Well,
now, how is that affecting the Finger Lakes?
Well, so far, we've had a very, very pleasant spring here in the Finger Lakes, because there's a brand new facility in the region, which is a New York State facility. It's received private and state funding, but it's called the New York Wine and Culinary Center. It is a state facility. The New York Wine and Culinary Center is based in Canandaigua, which is part of our region, and it's helped to kind of put a face on the idea of agritourism and culinary tourism, those very strong links. So agritourism, from our perspective, has been here for over 100 years, but now we have this bright, brilliant new facility which kind of helps people focus on the concept of what that agri-culinary tourism experience is. It gives them a gateway. They start there, and they discover agricultural products of the throughout the state. And certainly, if they're there, their probably first foray out into New York State will probably be in our region.
Right, and the thing is that New York State wines have been around for a long time. Have they changed something in the rulings of export or something that suddenly is bringing the New York wines a little bit more into the limelight?
A few things have taken place, and the things that are the most prominent, you hit that on the nose, Roy. The New York wine grape and the Finger Lakes wine grape industry has been around for over 100 years. But the idea of growing vinifera wine is still relatively new. It's still, some would say, less than 20 years it's been going on. Really, I think that there has been an extremely large amount of research that's been done, largely cold climate viticultural research that's happened right here in our region with the Cornell Ag Experiment Station in Geneva. A tremendous amount of research into what grapes grow well in colder climates. Also, a lot of has been done by state entities like the New York Wine and Grape Foundation to increase awareness for the product nationally and internationally. And really, we've just got a lot of entrepreneurs and farmers, simple as that, who are interested in coming here and trying their hand at a growing industry. The quality is incredible. We're competing nationally and internationally with vinifera. Particularly, you may have heard about Riesling, but Riesling is one of the fastest growing in terms of recognition wines in our region. There's a lot of reasons why it's happening.
Well, thank you, Mike. We have a big program today. We have a lot of your people that are going to follow you, and we thank you very much for this fabulous introduction to the Finger Lakes. And when we come back, we're going to be chatting with Michelle Ledoux Benjamin from Watkins Glen. Bye for now.
Thanks, Roy.
USA 3000 Airlines knows the way. USA 3000 now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fares starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.
Schuyler County, Watkins Glen, known world over for the Watkins Glen International, is the most famous in American auto racing for being the site of Formula One racing in this country for two decades. But there is so much more, and here to speak with us about it is Michelle Ledoux Benjamin, Schuyler County's Tourism Director. Welcome to Talking Travel.
Thank you. Good morning, Roy.
It's nice to chat with you.
You as well.
It's been a while. We had a wonderful visit while we were in Watkins Glen. Let's see. Let's go to some must-dos for a starter.
Well, certainly the racetrack, as you alluded to, is definitely a must-do for any race fan of any type of racing. Certainly they still have NASCAR there every August, and they've added IndyCar, so they're back to open-wheeled racing just like in the Formula One days, and that happens in June. And then in September, they have a wonderful event. It's a vintage event, and it's for 3 years running now, the largest vintage sporting event in the United States. So if you love old cars, this is a great event. You get to get up close to them, and they actually reenact the racing through the streets because racing came back to the United States after World War II right here in Watkins Glen, racing through the streets, and they reenact that every fall. And every day, Roy, for anybody who's ever watched racing on TV or for anybody who loves Watkins Glen or NASCAR or IndyCar, you can drive your own car on that racetrack any day of the week that there's not a major event up there.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Sounds
like
fun.
That's definitely a must-do.
Now, of course, there's the Watkins Glen State Park, and just a short walk up to the waterfalls.
Just a short walk, a few steps. About 800 altogether.
And you know what? You kept telling me it's just one more level.
That's right.
But it just seemed that level just wasn't around the corner. But the thing is, for those who would like to do it the easy way, you can drive up to the top
and walk down.
And
that's
then
right.
Walk down, which might be the easier way. It's just that you're going to have to turn around and look at the waterfalls on the way down. But
yeah, it's about a mile and a half, and it is about 800 stairs, but they are pretty spaced out, so you do go up from one level to another, and darn those glaciers for not creating a nice level walk for you. But what that does create is about 19 waterfalls, and you actually walk underneath a lot of the waterfalls, and there's stone bridges, and of course it changes every season, every day. It's a little bit different depending on the way the sun is shining. So it's just amazing. It's sometimes been called the eighth wonder of the world. It's just amazing to walk through and see and experience that gorge.
And I can certainly attest to that. Now, Captain Bill's Seneca Lake Cruise is an interesting one as well.
Yes, Watkins Glen is located on the southernmost tip of Seneca Lake, one of the 11 Finger Lakes. There's more than five fingers, Roy. There's 11 altogether,
right,
with Seneca Lake being the widest and the deepest. And there's many ways to get on the lake. Certainly you can rent a boat, you can bring your own boat, you can bring a kayak. But there's also Captain Bill's Seneca Lake Cruises, who have been in the area since, I think, the 30s or 40s. And they have both a one-hour sightseeing cruise as well as a three-hour lunch or dinner cruise. And then we also have the Malabar 10, which is this gorgeous wooden schooner that you can get on for, I believe they go out for a couple of hours. Or you can charter the Seneca Sailing Adventures little sailboat. So there's lots of options for just getting out there, experiencing the lake. And certainly on some of these tour boats, you can learn about the history of the lake and the glaciers, the Seneca Indians, as well as the salt production. It's not a salt lake, but we do produce salt for all over the nation and the world right here in Watkins Glen.
And let's not forget to mention one of the places that we had a super meal and a great tour of was the Rooster Fish Brewing Company.
Yeah, wasn't that a good time? Now, Rooster Fish is interesting because right here in Watkins Glen, they're brewing their own beers, and they had a couple craft ales when you were here, Roy, but they're up to five now. And they're shooting for 15, and then they'll be bottling as well. So that's very exciting to have a brewery to give you a break from the 40-some wineries that are now around Seneca Lake.
Yeah, exactly.
You get a little taste of everything.
And the interesting thing was that I got to taste some ice wine, which I had never tried before.
Ah.
And while I was there, and also to see how they pick those grapes just
mm-hmm.
prior to a freeze or something. There's a formula that they follow. Now, I understand also there are two local businesses are now going to produce cheese.
That's right. We have Sunset View Creamery, which produces cheese fresh from the cows. It's a 100-year-old farm, and they produce cheddars and curds and all different sorts of flavors. As a matter of fact, one of their sons was in Iraq recently on a tour of duty and sent a spice back, and they worked that spice into one of their cheese flavors. So that's really exciting. Cheese and wine, what goes better together? And they now have a shop right down in Watkins Glen, as well as their shop on the farm up in Odessa, just a few minutes northeast of Watkins Glen. And then in Hector, right near the Finger Lakes National Forest, which is the only national forest in New York State, just north of Watkins Glen, is a place called Finger Lakes Farmstead Cheese, and they're producing local cheeses as well. So very exciting to be having our farms kind of adapt and do some different processes that go just super with the cheese or with the wine that we have in the area.
Thank you, Michelle. That's super and very informative. We're going to keep sliding on down the road here, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting for your information with Pat Charlin from Ontario County.
Well, have a good time in Ontario.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Take care.
When we think of Ontario County, Naples comes to mind. Not Florida or Italy, please. We're talking about Naples, New York, known as the Grape Country and one of the most treasured destinations in the Finger Lakes region. Joining us today is Pat Charlin, Vice President of Marketing, Finger Lakes Visitors Connection. Welcome to Talking Travel.
Good morning. Thank you.
I was just saying that when we think of Naples, everyone's, oh, I don't know, Florida or Italy. No. We're talking about Naples, New York, the grape country. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely beautiful, spectacular, scenic country with lots of a beautiful lake and lots of wonderful vineyards and grape pie. Don't forget about grape pie in Naples, New York.
Exactly. And the new wine culinary, what it's wine and culinary center is also happening at the moment and seems to be the most exciting thing on the agenda.
It's very exciting for us. It's the New York State Wine and Culinary Center, and it's located in Canandaigua, New York, which is the north end of Canandaigua Lake, and it's a 19,000 square foot center that houses an exhibition hall featuring New York agriculture, wine, and food, a tasting room, a hands-on kitchen where you can actually cook and prepare foods with a chef in a class, or a demonstration kitchen where up to 50 people can actually watch a famous chef prepare foods, kind of like your Emerald TV shows. You can watch in the demonstration kitchen, a Taste of New York Lounge, which overlooks the lake, where you do get to sample then the foods that are made and taste of regional cuisine. And it's very exciting for us.
In fact, I went to their website, and it looks very, very interesting, and I was very impressed by their board of directors. And one of them is the CEO of Wegmans, which just happens to be my favorite supermarket. And so it looks like with the people who are heading it up, it's going to be a great success.
It is. It's already a great success. It opened in mid-June, and they've been busy ever since.
Now tell us about the upcoming annual Native American Dance and Music Festival, which is happening here, next week, I guess?
The 29th and 30th. It's hard to believe that that's here in a week or so, the end of July already. It's the Native American Music and Dance Festival, and it's held at Ganondagon Historic Site, which is the native home of the Seneca Indians here from our area. A lot of history there. And this year the theme is Earth Rhythm and Beats. And they are having a dance troupe from Bolivia, contemporary social Iroquois dances, the youth spirit dancers, a lot of drumming, different groups. They're actually international. They come from Canada, South America, and all over the United States, and it's very colorful and very festive, and you can also sample foods there too. Native American foods, buffalo meat and cooking with white corn and lots of fun things to do.
Sounds like a fun couple of days. Now, also, you have the Sonnenberg Gardens and Mansion, which is a state historic site, and the upcoming Friday night moonlight strolls, is that what you call them?
That's correct. On Friday nights, it's called Moonlight Strolls, and you actually wander through the gardens, and it's beautifully lit with lighting. There's wine tasting and hors d'oeuvres served. There's also some type of music going on, whether it's a small ensemble or chamber music, but you can just leisurely stroll the gardens, sip some nice wines, and it's a great evening event for the summer months.
Pat, while we're chatting, and we've been jumping from county to county here, could you kind of just, for our listeners, a geographical purpose, and so they can get a feeling for the area, just chat about routes 5 and 20?
I can. 5 and 20 is the road that runs east-west across New York State, and actually the 20 piece of it, it's in some portions of the state, they come together, that's why it's 5 and 20, but it also separates. 20 actually runs from from Boston all the way to Portland. It's a federal highway. Route 20 runs east-west across the United States. So it's that piece coming through New York State, joins with Route 5, and actually was originally a Native American trail and a stagecoach route, then grew to the precursor to the New York State Thruway, and now again it runs parallel. It's a historic route. We have a program going called Drive It, 134 Miles of History. We have 14 different museums along the route running from Darien to Skinny Atlas that are participating in exhibits about the history of 5 and 20. And you can get a passport and travel along and get checked off. And, again, another activity to do in upstate New York this summer.
Lots of fun. And they have a website, in fact. It's www.routes5and20.com for those that would like to have a look at that and kind of trace your trail through the Finger Lakes. It should be lots of fun. We've got a moment. Can you just tell us about the ghosts?
The ghosts? Well, there's stories about ghosts in our area. That's true. Some of our historic buildings have ghosts, and we're actually doing ghost walks now. It just started this past week in Canandaigua. We have someone who's coming in
on Friday evenings again and going through downtown historic Canandaigua, and you can join with him, and he will tell you lots of wonderful tales about different types of mansions, different art, the architecture. I don't know. We're actually going to participate, and we're going to go for the first time ourselves this Friday night, so I'll know more about it then myself, where the ghosts are. But.
It runs through October, I understand.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Pat, thank you very much. It was very informative. We're kind of scooting along here, and the next stop is going to be at least in the county when we come back. Nice chatting with you. And
thank you so much.
Again. A pleasure. Bye for now.
Come up and see us.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Be back in a moment.
USA 3000 Airlines knows the way. USA 3000 now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fares starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.
As I said, our next stop along this wonderful trip through the Finger Lakes is now Livingston County. Livingston County is located on the western edge of the Finger Lakes region in the heart of the state. And Lisa Burns with the Livingston County Chamber of Commerce is here to tell us about this beautiful region. Welcome to Talking Travel.
Thank you, Roy.
I just thought that maybe we should start off, if you will, Lisa, by telling us about the Letchworth State Park, if you will.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be happy to. We like to refer to Letchworth as the crown jewel in the Finger Lakes. It's just a little shy of 15,000 acres that has the Genesee River flowing through it. And in most of the park, the river cuts an amazing gorge right through the park. It is just spectacular at some points along the way, so cavernous, it gives it its name, the Grand Canyon of the East.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting that they call it the Grand Canyon of the East.
There are scenic views all along the park that are just spectacular that lend to that feeling of seeing those types of gorges that are reminiscent of the Grand Canyon, however, not red in clay, but foliated, particularly in October when fall foliage is at its peak.
Now, are there tours into the gorge like in the Grand Canyon that we know of in the West?
There are. They aren't as elaborate, of course, because it isn't nearly as big, but there are hiking trails and biking trails, and in the winter, snowmobiling and cross-country skiing trails. There is a company that offers whitewater rafting, and this is the type of rafting I understand to be twos and threes, not those real gigantic rafting peaks that you'd get in the Grand Canyon or in other parts of the country. There's horseback riding offered. It's just a variety of activities through the park.
How about facilities for people staying? Are there campsites or restaurant facilities?
Absolutely, there are, Roy. There are there's innumerable amounts of campsites, both for tent camping and for RV camping. And there are also cottages within the park, beautiful cottages that are available for rent. And there is also the bed and breakfast called the Glen Iris Inn. It's the bed and breakfast and the restaurant. It just so happens to have been Mr. Letchworth's home, and it is located facing the middle falls of the park. There are three falls in the park, and Mr. Letchworth's home is located right at the face of the middle falls. It's spectacular.
Let's touch while we're on that about some other outdoor recreation activities, if you will.
Well, in the entire county, it's reminiscent of what's in the Finger Lakes in general, which is our stellar outdoor adventures, everything from anything to do with lakes and boating and fishing and hiking around the lakes. We have an interesting thing that is gaining so much popularity. I think you've probably heard about it, geocaching.
Oh, yes. Tell us.
Yeah. Geocaching is an amazing activity here in Livingston, and particularly at Letchworth State Park. And just to briefly summarize it, it's modern-day treasure hunting, where the little caches are located, and you download coordinates into your handheld GPS system, and you go out into these beautiful locations, and you look for the treasures. It's quite fascinating.
How fun that is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an amazing, and I love to think of it as the perfect family-oriented activity, because it takes the love of computers and sitting with their noses in front of computer screens of children, and takes their knowledge and brings it into the outdoor in a family environment where they can take the basic computer in the GPS system and be out in nature.
Terrific.
So it is gaining amazing popularity.
Absolutely terrific. One last item before we have to run, and that is, I think is important, the first chapter of the American Red Cross was founded in Dansville, New York.
It was, Roy, and thanks for bringing it up. You know, this year is the 125th anniversary of the founding of the Red Cross, and Clara Barton did so while she was spending some time recuperating after the Civil War in Dansville, New York. And she brought the information that she garnered from Europe back, and she stated in the original chapter, "Let it never be forgotten that Dansville is the first home of the American Red Cross." We're very proud of that.
Terrific. And Lisa, we thank you very much for joining us, and we're just moving on down through the Finger Lakes District, and we thank you once again for joining us. We're now going to head on over to, I believe we're heading to Syracuse, so we'll talk to you again.
Thanks very much, Roy. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure. Bye for now.
Bye now.
Well, we're moving along through the Finger Lakes, and we're now going to Syracuse, which is the eastern gateway to the Finger Lakes, one of the two major metropolitan areas in the region. And Diana Napolitano with the Syracuse CVB is going to chat with us about her region. Welcome to Talking Travel.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be with you.
It's nice to chat with you again. It's been some time.
Yes, it has. It was just about a year ago, I think, that you and I traveled up the highway to Syracuse.
Yes, we did, and we had lots to chat about, and we had a lovely lunch. And I just thought that why don't we touch on how Syracuse fits into being one of the two major metropolitan areas in the region.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're one of the, you know, the two largest cities in the region. You've probably already talked with Rochester. We're just down the thruway. And, you know, we like to talk about how we have urban amenities, you know, but yet small-town cheerfulness, small-town helpfulness. You know, you want to go to a good restaurant, we've got them. You want to go shopping, plenty of opportunities here. You know, anything you want to do, we've got it.
You know, it's interesting. First of all, we haven't been to Rochester. We're going to drive over after we finish with you.
Mm-hmm.
But you say that Syracuse is a great place to rediscover life. No stress, scenic beauty, close to many attractions. Let's go there, if you will.
Sure. Well, actually, I want to first say that your article about the Finger Lakes being a tonic for the soul, I mean, that was just right on. I feel like if you want to escape from the rat race and just rediscover what life is and how to raise a family.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because Bob Fisher put a lot of time into that article, and there's some great photos. And I didn't mention it earlier, but most of our listeners know that if you go to our website, ttrn.com, click on Rediscovering America, and you can read this article and look at the photos while we're chatting here in Syracuse with Diana. Sorry, Diana, continue on.
Oh, well, basically, you know, Syracuse is just a great place to enjoy life. You know, we don't have much of a morning commute rush hour, which is nice. You know, I get to the office in 10 minutes. But yet we're so close to anything that you want to do. I mean, you can drive to the actual, the Finger Lakes themselves.
Right.
And within 20 minutes, Skinny Atlas, which is one of our suburbs, is just a mere, 20-minute drive on beautiful country highways, hills and beautiful scenery. I just feel like this is the place to be if you want to.
Along with many festivals and events throughout the year, I might add.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, if only you could come here today, you could participate with me in the, we have what we call Party in the Plaza every Wednesday, where a lot of young professionals and, everyone just gathers outside after work for some music and refreshments right here downtown, which is really fun.
Sounds great. And one can just step just down the street to that interesting little restaurant where we had lunch.
Yeah, the good old Dinosaur Barbecue. Yeah, you can't miss it.
Boy, what a place that was.
I know.
That was good fun.
One of our landmarks, that's right. Yeah, and I seem to recall you made a friend there.
I did indeed, yes. And she was happy enough to show us a lot of her body art, in fact.
Yes, body art.
I recall.
I think she had about, 35 tattoos?
But I think she probably, we were kind of limited as what we could look at, but I would think probably 50% of her body was covered with some kind of body art or another.
Yeah, I know. And for the benefit of your listeners, I just add that the Dinosaur has the best barbecue in the whole area, I would say, and it's delicious. You don't have to go to Kansas City or St. Louis or any place like that for ribs. Just come to the Dinosaur BBQ.
Now, of course, Syracuse is also a sports town. They have Syracuse University,
yeah.
And you have the Bassmaster Tour.
Yeah, and we're really excited about that. It just finished up. We had the what they call the Elite Series Empire Chase, where 100 top bass anglers came to Oneida Lake, which is 10 miles from here, and it was televised nationally on ESPN. So I mean, it was very big in the fishing world, and we just found out that we landed the next competition up. It's called the Masters, and that's happening about a year from now. And instead of the 100 anglers, it's going to be 50, and the stakes are even higher. So we're very excited about that. I mean, the fishermen were raving about the bass in our lakes. So you should come down and take a look.
Diana, just before we drive over to Rochester to visit with Patty Donahue,
mm-hmm.
Could you just tell us a bit about the Underground Railroad? I think people would be very interested in hearing about that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, 100 years ago or so, or even before that, Syracusans were very active in the whole abolitionist movement, so there were quite a few safe houses here in the area where slaves running away from the South, could stop on their way to Canada. And in fact, there are some interesting relics from that era where some runaway slaves had carved these interesting faces, which we just found recently in the basement of a church. And they're now on display at our local historical society. So, it's very interesting. It was a big part of our history. We also have a monument to a runaway fugitive in downtown Clinton Square, which I think you and I saw.
Yes,
when
we did.
We were here. Yeah, so it was a crucial part of our history, and we're proud to have been part of it. That and the women's rights movement as well.
Diana, I must thank you, and I also thank you for hosting my visit while I was there. We're going to scoot on over to Rochester when we come back, so hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks, and thanks for calling. It's always great to talk to you.
Yeah, bye for now.
All right, bye-bye.
The other major eastern gateway to the Finger Lakes is Rochester, and here to chat with us about her favorite topic is Patty Donahue. Welcome to Talking Travel, Patty.
Hi, Roy. How are you?
I'm terrific. And yourself?
Great, thanks.
I thought maybe we would chat maybe about some of the National Historic Landmarks, but before we do that, tell us a little bit about Rochester itself. I mean, here's another gateway to the Finger Lakes, another major city, lots of other things just besides attractions. Just chat a little bit about Rochester first.
Sure. Rochester, it's the third largest city in New York State. A lot of people don't know that. And we have a metro population of about 1 million people. and we're world headquarters to the Eastman Kodak Company, Bausch & Lomb. They do a lot of the optical type things. Paychex, which is a company that started out very small in Rochester and has grown worldwide, that does payrolls. And, of course, Xerox was started here in Rochester by Chester Carlton back in the 50s and still has a very major manufacturing presence here.
And, of course, a good portion of this goes back to George Eastman.
Absolutely. George Eastman is definitely the father of Rochester, at least through the last probably 20th century. He was not only the inventor of dry film and became known as the father of popular photography, but also became very, very wealthy, as you can imagine, and really funded a number of our cultural institutions that are still in existence today, as well as a number of our parks. Hard to find a place that somewhere along the way George Eastman or the results of his invention haven't touched Rochester.
Yeah, exactly. It's quite amazing. Now, there are a lot of historic sites in Rochester, and of course Susan B. Anthony, who is another major name in the area.
Well, sure. There was Susan B. Anthony actually lived in Rochester during her most active years with the fight for women's rights. In fact, in 1872, she was arrested in her living room for voting in the 1872 presidential election. She was quite adamant that she should be allowed to vote, and the U.S. Marshal said, "Sorry, I have to arrest you." Took her on a trolley down to the courthouse, and as she got on the trolley, she said, "I'm a guest of the U.S. government, and I'm not paying your 5-cent toll." It was a trial, and she was convicted of voting illegally, and she was fined, I believe it was $100, and to this day, that fine remains unpaid, but Miss Anthony never ended up in jail or anything like that, so that was good.
But she did end up on the Susan Anthony. It was the dollar, wasn't it?
She did, you know, and I just think that
maybe
whole
it's
dollar,
only worth 95 cents.
Oh, you know, it's that was an unfortunate thing, and I think Sacagawea has found the same fate. I just think it was the size of it that perhaps maybe torpedoed that. But you know, and of course Frederick Douglass spent 25 of his most active years here in Rochester during the abolitionist movement, and he's buried at our Mount Hope Cemetery, as is Susan B. Anthony. So there's a lot of history here.
Now, you also have one of my favorite food markets. My sister, Arlene, teaches at school in Buffalo. She teaches a master's course at UB, and also she's on. She's a director of the Learning Center at a Catholic college there. And when I go up, needless to say, one of my first stops, and of course I always talk about this at lunchtime, is Wegmans.
Oh, absolutely. Wegmans Food Markets, we always say it's a must-see. And frankly, it's one of our biggest tourist attractions.
And
everyone,
I find that incredible. I mean, here's a supermarket. I mean, I can understand it because I've been there. But it's amazing how the word has gotten out that it has become a tourist attraction. I find that absolutely extraordinary.
It's amazing, but it's a family-based, Rochester-based company, has over 70 stores located throughout New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Virginia, but they get requests daily from people all over the country and beyond saying, "Why won't you please open a Wegmans here?" They're very innovative, they're very visionary, and their stores are just, I know, when I've said to people, and especially I take travel writers around a lot, and I say we're going to a grocery store, they think I'm crazy, and once they get there, they're just totally amazed at what a great facility it is, and I have to drag them out of there. And all our visitors come here. I mean, everyone who has visitors takes them to Wegmans, and it's just and they're a wonderful company. They do a lot for the community, and so it's a fun thing to
a lot to be learned there.
Exactly.
We're just about running out of time. Can we just touch on Park Avenue?
Sure. Park Avenue, it's an urban neighborhood in the Rochester area that's filled with restaurants, outdoor cafes, some retail shops. It's a wonderful little place. I know one of the restaurants mentioned on your site is Jines Restaurant, J-I-N-E-S, and it's been in business for over 30 years, and is a you can find politicians and business people in there any time of the day, right along with a family with some little, you know, 5-month-old or whatever, kind of squealing away. But it's a wonderful area. You find young and old there, and it's a great place to stroll on a wonderful summer evening.
I thank you very much.
Hey,
and
it was fun.
We hope to be talking to you again one of these fine
times. Sure, Roy, anytime.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Bye
okay.
for now.
Bye-bye.
We're off to Steuben County and Kaluka Lake, and a short trek along a hiking trail, so they said, and a cruise on a lake with Pat White and Stephanie Miller, who could ask for more. And joining us today is Pat White, Communications Manager for the Steuben County CVB, and it's a pleasure to have her here today. Pat, what's happening? What's the latest in your area these days?
Well, it's a great time to be in the Finger Lakes, I can tell you that. The Museum of Glass has expanded their hours, and they're open until 8 o'clock at night throughout the summer. The Rockwell Museum is open until 8 o'clock at night, so we have things going on all day long here, and it's just a great time to visit us. And of course, in addition to being inside, there's all the outdoor recreation that you've mentioned in the Finger Lakes.
Right. Well, Bob got to stop at the Glenn Curtis Museum, and we have a little video clip actually on his article, and it's quite an interesting spot.
The Glenn Curtis Museum is quite a gem. It is. It is named after, its namesake is Glenn Curtis, who was the father of naval aviation, and he was a Hammondsport native, and of course Hammondsport's located at the south end of Keuka Lake. But he was a Renaissance man of sorts. He was into everything, and he started out very interested in speed, and he was riding bicycles, and he was actually riding all the way to Rochester on a bike, which is about 90 miles, but then he decided that wasn't fast enough. So he experimented with putting engines on bikes, and he got into motorcycles. And the Curtis Museum actually has found quite a niche in motorcycle history, and they have a great collection of antique motorcycles. But then, because of his expertise in engines, he was approached to place an engine on a heavier-than-air vehicle of sorts, and so he got involved in aviation. And so he started with dirigibles, and then he built airplanes,
right.
And it just went on from there. So this museum has such a wide variety of things, from motorcycles to all kinds of engines, to aviation, to life in the early 1900s, and it's just a wide variety of things. And actually, I'm sorry that you missed it, Roy, because Bob was fascinated.
Yes, I know. And we urge those who are at home listening and have access to their computer, or who are listening online, please go to Rediscovering America and on our website, ttrn.com. And when you scroll down on Bob's article, you will see, not only is there an interview, but there is a short video clip of this museum. Now, what's also interesting, as father of the naval aviation, Glenn Curtis, they have a seaplane homecoming on the lake. Is that correct?
That is correct. And this year it'll be September 16th and 17th. And so they actually fly a reproduction of the A-1, which was built in 1911. It was the Navy's first aircraft. And so they fly that. And then visiting seaplanes come in, and they have a seaplane parade, and there's rides available in seaplanes. And it's quite a festival.
Yeah, it looks great. And, again, there are photos up on the site. Let's see. Bob also spent some time at the Corning Museum of Glass. And there's some incredible photos on our site of this. And can we just chat a little bit more about Corning?
I would love to. The Corning Museum of Glass, Corning is a familiar word in every American household, I think. But I think a lot of people misunderstand the Museum of Glass. It really is a comprehensive facility that explores the art, history, and science of glass from around the world. It's not just Corning-made glass. It's from around the world. And so their exhibits cover 35 centuries of glass and 40,000 exhibits. So, you know, every aspect of glass that you can imagine. And there's a lot of science and technology, and glass has really changed the way we live. And so this museum is just fascinating. They have live glass blowing demonstrations. You can actually make your own glass souvenir. So it's just a fascinating place to visit.
And, of course, there are a lot of wineries in the area, one of being the Pleasant Valley Wine Company.
Absolutely. That was actually the first bonded winery in the U.S. It was established in 1860, and it was bonded, meaning that they paid taxes to the U.S. government. And they're listed on the National Register of Historic Places because this winery is actually built into the hill. There are caves that go underground, and that's for natural temperature control. And so it's very historic, and it's very reminiscent of old world wineries. You'll think that you're transported to Europe when you walk into this winery.
Now, while Bob was tasting wine and wandering through beautiful museums, I was out on the adventure. I was went off with Mark Moscow. Is that the way he pronounces his last name?
Yes, yes.
And Bob, Mark has a company called Summit to Stream Adventures, and let me give you his website. We were hoping we would chat with him today, but we were having problems reaching him. But let's give you his website. It's www.summit, SUMMITTO, stream, STREAM.com. And Mark is an incredible young guy, and he just knows all of those trails through there. So if you're going up in the area and you're up for a little hiking, he can give you the short tour or the long tour, depending on the condition that you're in. I sort of took the short tour. The other thing that I got to do, which was fascinating, is I got to go out on a boat with you and Michelle, and we did a wine on the water cruise on Cayuga Lake, along with Captain Dave Durkee, who is great fun and very knowledgeable. Let's chat about not so much the cruise we did, but let's chat a little bit about the lake and what goes on out there.
Well, Cayuga Lake obviously is one of the Finger Lakes. It's very unique in that it's Y-shaped, and so it does flow both north and south, and that's quite rare. And there are wineries located all around Cayuga Lake, and it's called the Cayuga Lake Wine Trail for obvious reasons. So it's just a beautiful lake. It's, of course, surrounded by hills, and in the fall, the foliage is just beautiful, and it's mirrored in the lake, and the lake is sparkling clean, and there's all kinds of great fishing to be had in all of the Finger Lakes, but of course, Cayuga Lake, I think especially, is called the gem of the Finger Lakes. And so it's a gorgeous lake, and we had a lot of fun going on our boat cruise on the lake. And there are several restaurants on the lake that are accessible not only by car, but also by boat. So you can just hop from one lake or from one restaurant to another by boat and have hors d'oeuvres in one place and cocktails in another place and just keep going around the lake that way.
Kind of brings back some memories. I think the one we stopped at was the waterfront, in fact.
We did have dinner at the waterfront. We stopped and had a few drinks at the Switzerland Inn. Yes.
And Bob went to Snug Harbor.
Snug Harbor, which is a beautiful historic restaurant right on the lakefront.
I think he told me an interesting story that you went in there sort of casual, didn't realize there was a wine tasting going on and everybody was in formal dress.
That's right. That's right. There was actually a dinner going on at the time with a very famous winemaker, Willie Frank, from Dr. Constantine Frank's Wine Cellars. And so they were having a dinner with the winemaker, and we were very casually dressed. And we came in, and everyone else was pretty formally dressed, but we were welcomed in, and we had some great wine and great food at Snug Harbor.
I found everybody was so friendly, and the whole area, the whole Finger Lakes region, is a people-friendly destination. And one that certainly we highly recommend. Now, if someone wanted to contact or wanted to do a Mark's adventure or even Dave or someone else's fishing trip, I'm assuming they can call your office, or is there an 800 number where they can get this type of information?
Absolutely. Our 800 number is 866-946-3386. And our website is CorningFingerLakes.com.
Now, is there anything that you'd like to add to this before we run over and chat with Stella?
Well, actually, just briefly, I would like to mention the Rockwell Museum of Western Art. And I don't believe that Bob or you got to see it, but it is a great Western art museum located here in Corning. And many people would never think of upstate New York for Western art. But it is the home of the largest collection of Western and Native American art on the East Coast, larger than the Smithsonian's collection. So if you are in the area and have a chance and like Western art and Native American art, it's a great place to stop and visit.
That's just super. Pat, I want to thank you on behalf of both Bob and myself for hosting us there. We had a marvelous time, and we hope to once again share a bottle of wine together in the not-too-distant future.
I would love that. Come back anytime.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
We're off to Tioga County and the Susquehanna River, fishing with the Susquehanna River Boys, here to tell us about Tioga County. And Owego is Stella Rusk, Director of Tioga County Tourism. Welcome to Talking Travel, Stella.
Hi, how are you, Roy?
I'm great, Stella, and it's really nice chatting with you again. I want to thank you for the marvelous time we had while we were visiting with you, as it certainly was a great experience. Before we get into details of the area, can we just touch on how the county is recovering from the horrendous flooding that you were experiencing?
Yeah, we are recovering from the flood. It was the worst flood we've had probably since, if it was in our history, we're not sure, but somebody said 1935, but we had several hundred homes were totally destroyed, and roads were impassable for 3 days and whatnot. But we're coming back full speed ahead, and all the shops, all the gift shops are open. Everybody's cleaning out, and we're starting, you know, to rebuild, and the restaurants are rebuilding, and we'll be better than ever.
Well, now, and you also have a new Tioga,
yes,
Downs Racino, I think you call it.
Right. It's a new Racino. It opened up in June. It's in the site of an old, used to be called Tioga Park, and it was off of Route 17. In the 70s, it was a harness racetrack, but it was totally demolished and totally rebuilt. It's brand new, and they do harness racing, and also there's video lottery terminals. There's 750 of those. And it's in the theme of the a county fair. So there's big, giant murals that have been painted on the walls, a big carousel in the terminal section, a country buffet. There's lots of activities, lots of entertainment going on. So we're really excited. They had their grand opening just a couple weeks ago and been packed ever since. So if you're a racing fan, or if you're a gambling person, you know, that's the place to go, and the food is great.
And of course, this is harness racing.
It is harness racing, and it's big around here. I don't know what it's like out there, but...
Well, unfortunately, where we are, we don't have any racing other than dogs, unfortunately. But they're the only racing, of course, in Miami and those areas,
uh-huh,
is, you know, regular thoroughbred racing.
Right.
Now, I understand that the good blues music at the jailhouse, they've got a new, well, let's see, what do they have? The Summer Blues Jam, 06 Jam.
Right. That's coming up this weekend, I believe. A jailhouse restaurant built in 1910, I believe, and it's an actual jailhouse building that was used as a jail up until 1998. And then somebody bought the building, it was sold from the county, and restored it into a restaurant, and there's some apartments up, luxury apartments up on the third floor.
A great,
but the first and the second floors are restaurant, and you can still eat in your own private jail cell, and, you know, the waitresses come in black, you know, with their...
stripes.
Yeah, they're striped. But it's a fun place,
and they
specialize in blues music. So this weekend they're having their Summer Blues Jam 06 on the Courthouse Square, which is right, the Courthouse Square sits right by the courthouse. And right on the lawn, we'll have some famous entertainment there. And so the website is jailhouserestaurantfoodandblues.com for more information on that.
Right, and the two fellows that own it, I mean, you and I did a tour of it.
Yeah.
But I went back later on and had a few drinks with the owners and
Dave and Fred.
Yeah, and they're good fun. They're great to talk to. It's a real fun place and very, very friendly. I was there for a short period of time, and before, you know, I knew it, I felt like I was a local. So very easy to make friends there, and I highly recommend it, as you have done.
Right. Well, this area is likes that kind of music, the jazz, the blues. I just wanted to also mention on July 29th the Hickory Smoke Blues Hickory Smoke Music Festival that's usually held at our Hickory's Park, which was totally flooded, is now been changed to be held at the Tioga Downs Racino. So that actually would be an exciting place to go. And that, we have a whole lineup. That's an all day event.
Well, you have the Commander Cody Band appearing at the Turkey Trot.
Yeah, that's coming up in August 19th.
Yep.
So tickets are available there.
And there I might just mention here, if I may, Stella, that they're offering some overnight packages at the Treadway Inn, where in fact I stayed, I understand.
Right, overnight packages for the Commander Cody Band. You can get them, just visit turkeytrotacres.com, but you can call the Treadway as well. They have a 800 number that I can give you at the end of this. But the Commander Cody Band is appearing at Turkey Trot Acres, and if you stay at the Treadway, they'll pick you up on a bus and they'll take you to Turkey Trot, and you'll have a big barbecue dinner, and it's an informal, intimate affair because they're only allowing like 150 people to attend. So if you like that band, they reign from the 60s and 70s.
They're the ones that did Hot Rods Lincoln.
Right.
Now,
so,
can we just touch on the Turkey Trot, because it's a lodge that many people may not know about.
It's a hunting lodge. You're a hunter. You can, you know, hunt deer and turkey. Mostly they do turkey. And they have, I don't know how many acres, 400 acres or whatever, but they've been famous nationally famous because they host celebrities, famous football players go there and hunt. Even some staff at the White House have attended there. So they're nationally known, and they do, if you are a hunter, you know, that's the place to be. Their food is absolutely fantastic. They're famous with, their barbecues as well, and they have a lodge, so you can stay there overnight. They have about 20 rooms, so that's in Candor, New York.
And so it's also blueberry picking time, I understand.
Yep, our area has a lot of farmers markets and farms. We just finished our strawberry season. We had a big strawberry festival in June, and now it's blueberry season, so we have a lot of U-picks. That you can pick blueberries, you know, right off the branches. I do it every year and fill my freezer with blueberries. You can eat them all year round. And we're having a blueberry festival this Saturday, actually, in Nichols. So we're celebrating all the little fruits that we can get off the land.
Now, we did a wonderful walking tour of Hiawatha Island, which I thought was absolutely wonderful. And it was really quite easy when you told me we were going to go on a boat and I was getting all this. It was just, you know, one could have almost walked across that part of the Susquehanna River. But it was a great hiking trek, and I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I spent a little time with the fellows on the Susquehanna River. We didn't do much fishing, but we tipped a few beers, I think, along the way.
Yeah.
And for those that are that again have access to their computer, Bob's article, "The Finger Lakes: A Tonic for the Soul." If you go to Rediscovering America and scroll down to that article, there is an audio clip of a chat that I had with Dave Woodburn some time ago, and I think you'll all enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think we were able to get to Dave and his fishing partner, but they were great company. We had a wonderful time, and I would think now after the floods, what about the river? Is it fishing back? Is it what's
not quite yet. It's still flowing pretty well, and you know, the fish kind of, who knows where they are, but I haven't seen any fishermen on the river yet. It's a little bit dangerous. The boat ramps are not quite up to snuff yet.
Right.
They're working on it. We're still, like I said, rebuilding. The whole Hickory's Park where the boat ramp was, you know, was flooded, you know, over the buildings.
How amazing, because when I was there and we were in the boat, we just...
It was so low, wasn't it?
And well, but the beautiful part of it all was we just floated right from there down a few miles to where the hotel was. We never
right.
turned on the motor. We just floated down the river, and what a wonderful feeling that was, and what a great experience.
Very relaxing.
It certainly is. Stella, I thank you, and I'm glad that you're recovering from all this. I think the only restaurant that you said at the moment, of course, the Cellars is one that we went to.
Right.
And it still hasn't recovered, I guess, because it's below ground.
Yes.
And
Actually, the Cellar is going to exist. We just don't know where.
Right.
I don't think they're going to go back to where they were, because it's the third time they flooded in 2 years.
Oh my!
That usually doesn't happen. You know, It's just unusual. So, but they do claim to open up again. It might not be for a couple of months, but they, you know, obviously have the best food around. And but their website is still up and running. If anybody is interested, it's thecellarrestaurant.net. Visit our website. We have a new website, by the way, Roy.
Oh, do you? Good. Let's
see. Visit tioga.com. VISITIOGA.com.
Right, and they can get all of this information there. I would imagine.
Pardon? Yes, all that information is there. That's the tourism website, and you can visit our area anytime. Give me a call. For more information, 1-800-671-7772.
Thank you very much, Stella. It's always a pleasure chatting with you. And
nice to talk to you, and thank you again.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Well, that kind of wraps it up for our Finger Lakes special. It was great chatting with some of these people again. You are listening to Talking Travel Live on the Travel Talk Radio Network and worldwide at ttrn.com. You can check out our program schedule by going to ttrn.com for the latest guest information. My guest next week will be Evan Eggers, surecruise.com, Dan McKernan of Big Bear Lake, Suzanne Wright, who's always a pleasure, Hans Tamamagi as well. So until then, this is Roy Lowy saying bye for now and happy travels.
You've been listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends on the Travel Talk Radio Network. Visit our website at ttrn.com for complete show archives and interviews with guests like Chris Elliott, Peter Greenberg, Bob Fisher, Johnny Jett, and many other great travel professionals. Don't forget to tune in live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern for more Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends.